like this, so I know what's coming at me.
Okay.
We're good. All right, folks. Good morning. We will call the special session of the Steuben County Legislature to order, and I'd ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Mrs. Ferratella.
Present.
Ms. Fitzpatrick.
Here.
Mr. Hanna.
Here.
Mr. Horton. Mrs. Lando.
Here.
Ms. Latimer.
Here.
Mr. Mayo.
Here.
Mr. Malter.
Here.
Mr. Mullen. Mr. Nichols.
Here.
Mr. Potter.
Here.
Mr. Roush.
Here.
Mr. Ryan.
Here.
Mr. Shue.
Here.
Mr. Swackhammer.
Here.
Mr. Van Castle. I know he was on there. Mr. Van Otten.
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right.
Mr. Horton is also joining as well.
Okay.
We have a quorum. I would ask Ms. Lando for the invocation and Ms. Ferratella to lead us in the pledge, please.
Let's pray. Yesterday, we celebrated Veterans Day, and today we pray for our veterans and active military for all their sacrifices so that we are able to do the people's business. Guide us in our work today as we do one of the most important works that we were elected to do. In your name, Jesus Christ, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we basically have one mission today, and that's to present the 2021 budget that Mr. Wheeler and Mr. Brewer have guided us into a tumultuous year. Hopefully next year will be better, but yeah. I'll turn it over to Mr. Wheeler.
Thanks very much, Chairman. Really appreciate it. So I'll share my screen so that everyone can see, and we'll go from there. So, So thanks everyone, very much appreciate everyone coming out and for our annual presentation of the budget. I have sent it to you in PDF form and also the link on OpenGov so that you can do interactive process. And then we'll obviously take some questions. First, we always start out with recognition and thank yous. And, you know, this year, I think it's just even more important to do so because of the difficulty that we've seen. Obviously, we recognize all of the legislators who put a lot of time and effort into reviewing the budget. And that is evidenced by all the sticky notes that you folks had in your previous binders. So thank you for that. That keeps us on our toes. And that really does show how really thoughtful and thorough you folks all are. So it's very much appreciated on our end, and I know the constituents as well. Specifically the Finance Committee, Chairman Swackhammer, Ms. Fitzpatrick, Mr. Malter, Mr. Nichols, Mr. Roush, thank you so much for your thorough analysis. Chairman, Vice Chairman, you folks have been tremendous as always. Finance Department, obviously, without Tammy and Mitch, this budget doesn't get done. They do a tremendous amount of work. And Chris as well. Chris has just been phenomenal in stepping up, and you know, it's like drinking from a fire hose, and I know that from experience trying to learn the budget, and he's just done an excellent job. Also, speaking of the legislature, this is off topic from the budget, but you know, from the bottom of my heart, I really want to thank you all for your leadership and support during COVID. This has been the most challenging time that any of us as staff have faced. And while I know there have been some decisions that maybe, you know, not everyone has agreed with, you folks have backed us. And I can't tell you how much that means, because all of our jobs would be doubly hard if we were having major political issues, which this body has never really gotten into ever in my experience. So, you know, thank you, because it makes our job as staff much more easy. So thank you very much. And really, staff is the other one to note. I mean, everyone up here at the dais, everyone, all the department heads really do a phenomenal job. And in addition, all of our staff. I mean, this year has been for everyone in every walk of life the craziest that we've ever experienced. So our staff has just been phenomenal in response to COVID and then really also in response to the budget crisis that has followed. In the executive summary, you'll see kind of the highlights of this budget. And some of the things to point out, obviously, this has been the most difficult budget in my about 13 years that I've ever seen, even going back to the times of the Great Recession. With the projected loss of state aid of up to 20%, and much of that is yet to be determined. We are still waiting for Albany, but obviously we have projected lower revenues as a result of those anticipations. In addition, sales tax has taken a large hit. We're fortunate that in comparison to some other counties and in comparison to projections that we were making in the spring, sales tax has rebounded. The collection of online sales tax has absolutely helped us plug that hole. We still are year to date lower than we were last year, but you know, the way that you folks have always been really responsible in anticipating sales tax revenue allows us, some flexibility in this without having to make more drastic cuts because of a real overly aggressive budgeting of sales tax. So that is a benefit to us. Your foresight in an enacting early retirement program that we'll discuss more has really been a tremendous benefit as well. The last thing I think any of us here want to see are layoffs. And so we've been able to achieve a reduced headcount through early retirement incentive that in the end saves us a tremendous amount of money too. And also, the public works, and we'll talk about that. all of our commissioners, all of our department heads have done a great job. Commissioner Mueller, we'll talk about DSS as well. Commissioner Spagnoletti, especially in public works, where that is your largest discretionary spend. And I know how important it is to your constituents and our constituents to keep our roads and our bridges plowed, maintained. We have one of the best road systems of any county, I would say. Just drive around and we've all seen it for ourselves. But they have found needed savings to manage this budget. So all in all, I do believe that if you take a look at this budget, it is fair and responsible. So the total budget, as you'll see, both anticipated expenses and revenues have decreased. When we go to the next page and when you use the OpenGov, I have a note in there, when you use the OpenGov interaction, we have included now for tracking purposes the workers' comp budget, but there's an offsetting expense in revenue, so you will see the budget actually be higher in those OpenGov charts. The ones that you see on your budget books are what we are reporting. So in the end, the tax levy is the same. It doesn't change any of that, but that's why the discrepancy between the charts. But obviously with reduced revenue of about 2.5%, we've obviously had to reduce expenses to close that budget gap. And you can see your five-year history. What it shows is, a really good stabilization of our expenses. One of the things that I find particularly helpful is looking at the budget comparison by category. And you can see, and this is where you'll see the difference in the chart, in this pie chart over here. And you can obviously click on through. From a macro standpoint, economic assistance and opportunity, which the largest cost center there is social services, is the largest portion of our budget. We know that because number one program is Medicaid that we have to pay for. And so therefore, obviously, that will be our largest cost center. If you look at the change year over year, public safety remains our largest cost driver in terms of percent change, with an additional expense of $1.4 million. For the coming year. Health is not really a surprise. We've had some changes in community services. They've presented also a very reasonable budget, but we are anticipated revenue losses. And in public health, we are expecting a little more COVID funds, but obviously we're not cutting expenses there just because of how strapped they are in terms of staffing and to be able to respond to the pandemic. If you look at general government, your central office functions, most of the savings there are a result of your staffing decreases due to the early retirement incentive. Transportation, this is what we've talked about. Vince and his crew have done a great job in, trying to find some savings, and we were very successful in doing that. Education is another one that is decreased, and that really is largely due to the drop in estimated expense for community colleges, both for Corning Community College and the colleges outside. If a student goes to any community college, we all have a share of that cost that has been reduced. And in addition, when I first got here, we were seeing tremendous growth in special children's services for early intervention and preschool special ed. We've actually seen a stabilization of those costs over about the past 5 years. So that actually helps tremendously in managing the budget. So if you look specifically at public safety, and you can click through these areas, in public safety, you can see the growing trend. And I know you folks did a laborious job and a great job in working with the sheriff, and he did a great job explaining, the changes in costs over the years. Obviously, you folks have made a large investment in public safety, but you can see the trend continues. On the six-year average, the average is about a 4.36% increase or close to $1 million increase annually in our public safety portion of the budget. The largest expense in that category is the jail, and that is then followed by the sheriff's department. Obviously, 911, emergency services, and probation are also in there, but this continues the trend and is the fourth consecutive year that public safety tops the growth of our budget. If we move on to economic assistance opportunity, that is largely your social services programs. And you also have Office for the Aging in there. Again, Kathy and her staff have done just a tremendous job. They always are the ones that budget wizards in many ways, her and Lise and their staff, in terms of getting creative and finding ways to find savings. We have seen a large impact specifically on the safety net program. If you recall, we used to have a 50-50 split with the state with safety net. They changed that to 29% state share, 71% local share, with them picking up the 100% of TANF costs. For some of the large counties, this actually was a win, and we fought this battle with NYSAC, I don't know, Kathy, probably about 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and NYSAC didn't take a strong position because a lot of counties benefited from that switch. We are not one of them. A lot of counties our size, the safety net program is actually growing at a larger rate than the TANF program. So you can see that for that program, the budgeted expense is up 35% this year. That is the program that is growing and one that they continue to monitor. Childcare programs are also up a good amount. That can largely be attributed to anticipated reduction in state aid for childcare. So all in all, DSS, OFA, they've done a tremendous job coming in with a budget that in very, very difficult times and getting creative in ways to plug those budget holes. So much thanks to them as well. Transportation, your largest cost center there obviously is your highway department, both county roads and machinery highway. And you can see here that obviously you folks have been very aware and have worked collaboratively with Mr. Nichols, the Public Works Committee, for the rolling five-year plan for Public Works. And they've done a tremendous job getting ahead. We've been able to leverage additional state funding over the years to advance projects ahead of the five-year plan. So while it's never a good time to cut anyone's budget, you know, they could sustain some cuts this year because they are so far ahead of their planning. So you will see that we're anticipating a loss of about $885,000 in CHIPS funding. That's your 20%. And that goes directly into road reconstruction. So you're going to see less projects happen. And I know that this has been discussed at length. In addition, we are deferring some of the bridge maintenance projects for a reduction of about $400,000. Obviously, the department is going to keep our bridges very, very safe, but some of the reconstruction and projects can be deferred. So again, you can see the drop here on this trend line. And it was unfortunately, you know, and a needed reduction. And in years past, when difficult budgets approach, it's really in trust and in public works where we're able to find the most amount of savings. Major changes. The first one that we'll talk about is the early retirement incentive. Again, thank you so much for your willingness and your foresight in enacting this program, because it was very successful. I don't know if I'm too pessimistic. I probably took that from Mark, but I was expecting, you know, maybe 20, 25 people to take advantage. We've, in the end, we've had 44 people take advantage of this program. What, and I mentioned this in the message, but you will see that these charts reflect 42. A couple weeks ago, you enacted an extension of that program to allow for those couple, you know, kind of unique cases to be able to take advantage. So those cost factors aren't, those changes aren't budgeted, that they came in too late, but you can see the different actions. And we talked about this with that we have taken for early retirement. You know, a number of positions were zero based or partially funded, but there are many critical positions that you'll see that essentially had to be refilled, but all departments stepped up because most of them, other than your small departments, have many other vacancies that they're not funding either. You know, they might be zero based, but they're bodies that they used to have at one point that they still don't have. So there is pain. There is, you know, I won't say a reduction in services, but a challenge in getting creative in the way that we provide our services. So the net cost savings for this in the first year is approximately $500,000. So that was a huge help to be able to manage filling these budget holes. So without that, I think we would have had a much more difficult time. So again, thank you for your foresight in doing so. Staffing levels, as you can see, for 2021, the anticipated budgeted staffing levels are 859. You know, if you look back to prior years, 2010, this doesn't show, you know, the late 2000s where it was about 1,200 staff FTEs that we had. So, you know, obviously back in 2010, you did your last early retirement incentive, which reduced headcount by a lot. The change that you see here, 14 to 15, is the sale of the healthcare facility. So you lost, you know, approximately 140 staff members there. And then we had a trend between 2016 and current budget year 2020 of staffing increases. Now, some of that was due to Harrell Herring criminal justice reform, some of the decisions made by the legislature to enhance additional positions to public safety. But this year reverses that trend, and we are actually seeing a decrease of budgeted headcount, which, you know, goes straight in line with what we anticipated with our early retirement incentive. Sheriff and the jail. We spend a good amount of time in the budget message talking about the sheriff and the jail. Obviously, you know, this has been a crazy year for them as well. And they've done, in my opinion, a tremendous job responding to that. We've really relied upon them for a lot of COVID efforts, and the overtime and other things reflect that. They are the ones that serve the quarantine orders because all of our public health staff are doing case investigations or some other critical function where they can't go on the road and serve the actual quarantine order to individuals. And then they do daily checks, not of contacts, but of individuals who are positive, because we really feel that getting eyes on these folks is very, very critical. Number one, to make sure they're staying in their house, because we have had few cases where people didn't. And also, you know, just to check on them, make sure they're okay, that they don't need anything. Because if an individual who is under isolation, it is a county responsibility to provide life safety issues for them. So if they needed food or anything like that, that is our responsibility. So they've done tremendous with that. The sheriff has also mentioned that with the civil unrest seen in Rochester and Buffalo, Binghamton to a lesser extent, the state police get pulled from this area. And as a result, the sheriff has to run overtime to fill those gaps so that we have enough police coverage in this county. You will see that the budgeted overtime for 2021 has been increased by $150,000 to sort of reflect the unknowns of what's going to happen with COVID and some of the other things. The other thing that we spoke at length during the budget process was the loss of funding from GST BOCES for two SRO positions. That's $225,000 lost revenue. Those staffing resources, those two individuals, like we've talked about, have been reassigned back to road duty, but the loss of the revenue obviously does have a major impact. You'll also see that, you know, to help balance that, the sheriff has worked with us to zero base one vacant deputy sheriff position and one vacant criminal investigator position. When you take that it all together, the sheriff's department budget, the sheriff, the road patrol, essentially department budget, has increased for the coming year about $500,000, or about 12%. The jail is also another area of pretty significant increase. As mentioned in the budget message, the corrections officers, dispatchers, and court security are the only collective bargaining unit that has an incumbent, or that is in the middle of a contract. They don't have an expiring contract. The others expire at the end of the year. So their contractually bound wage adjustments are included in the 2021 budget. The other thing that we have seen is lodging of federal prisoners not being at the level that we have seen, you know, years ago. We were getting at times well over $1 million a year from lodging federal prisoners. What the sheriff explains is that some of the counties that are closer to Rochester and Buffalo, where court appearances generally are more successful at housing those folks, because it costs the feds less in transportation if they house them there. So we obviously, you folks did, and we did decrease that anticipated revenue by $200,000. So in all, the jail department budget has increased about $560,000, or close to 7%. And for those interested to do deep dives, any of these charts that you click on, you can see, you know, the difference in the between the jail. They have many more contractual expenses. A lot of that really goes to the contract with Prime Care for medical services at the jail. And that's why your personal services aren't the overwhelming majority of that department's budget. Sheriff's department on the other side, obviously, road patrol, most of your costs are in staffing. Public Works, as we mentioned, you know, they are the largest discretionary cost center that we all have. Again, Vince and his crew have done a great job in stepping up to work with us to find needed savings. We have zero-based two positions, and seven positions have been partially funded. Vince did put additional positions on the table to be zero-based, but I believe Mr. Malta raised it, and we've discussed it at times. You know, it's finding that balance between cutting this year and how does that set us up for years to come. If we zero base a bunch of positions that they're going to need to fill some, next year's budget becomes much more difficult because we don't have that balance. So at least partially funding seven of the positions helps us both this year and going forward. We have anticipated additional expense in consultants and professionals for engineering, as our engineer is one of the individuals who took the early retirement incentive. He has a critical role. And so to help bridge the gap in between him leaving and finding a replacement, we have budgeted some funds should we need engineering services, and also temporary hire and snow removal. With the loss of some of the motor equipment operator positions and the reassignment of some of the bridge crew to do plowing, which they traditionally don't do every year. We still have, you know, folks who retire or that we can temp hire to help us with snow removal. So there is additional funds in that. As we've mentioned, we anticipate losing nearly $900,000 in CHIPS fundings, which directly impacts the amount of roads that can be reconstructed. We also have reduced crack seal and slurry seal budget line items because Vince, you know, essentially has said, you know, those are, you know, this is not the year where we're going to be investing in those. But consequently, we have increased surface treatments. So that line has increased about $340,000 up to $800,000 so that we can, you know, keep the roads in good shape while we weather this budget year. Capital equipment, you know, the message Chris and I gave to our departments when we started the budget in all ways is it's only what you absolutely need. So you will see, you know, some decreases in capital equipment and capital projects. Your minor equipment costs for 2021 are about $170,000 total. And again, Public Works, Sheriff's Department, and Jail are the vast majority of those costs. Major equipment has been reduced about $900,000 in comparison to 2020 budget. And a lot of that was savings that was found in Public Works, but also the Sheriff's Department was able to reduce their major equipment requests. And one of the ways that we were able to do that is looking at leased patrol vehicles instead of purchased. There are many municipalities, a lot of cities are really going to all leased patrol vehicles. We're sort of dipping our toes into it and to see how it works out. Obviously, with a vast county, our sheriff's deputies put a lot of miles on those vehicles. So we're not, you know, doing a total transition, but we are, you know, starting that process now. You'll also see a little over $1 million, 1.1 in general fund capital projects. There's $160,000 for buildings and grounds, but that's paid through the building renovation reserve. Large expense here, and it normally is your largest for information technology needs for our county departments that keeps a replacement. One of the things that Chris and I have worked with Rob on, and it's one of the lessons we've learned during COVID, is instead of buying desktop computers to get folks when they're replaced, get folks laptops with docking stations if they want, you know, a big monitor instead of looking at the little one. But that way, if something happens, they have their equipment to go home instead of lugging a big PC around. So we also have the Zoom licensing included in this. And then the sheriff has a couple projects that are going to be three-year projects. First, the replacement of the body cameras, because they do have some, we were, you know, some of the first counties to adopt body cameras. And it's time, they do have a shelf life. So it is time to start replacing those for about $53,000 for the first year. And then the Black Creek system, which is your brains of the jail. That's your software that runs the locking mechanisms, the monitoring mechanisms for the jail, the closed circuit television cameras, all of that have reached the end of its useful life. And so we're beginning replacement of that. And those things are included in your budget. Sales tax is another area. Obviously, it's concerning what happened. NYSAC, when we got into the start of the pandemic, was projecting upwards of 25% loss of sales tax by the end of the year. Thankfully, we haven't seen that. And again, I do think that the collection of online sales tax has really helped us be able to plug that hole. But the concerning trend that we see is the state looking to us and to the sales tax shares that we have as ways to plug their budget holes. It was alarming when they did that last year with the AIM payments to a number of municipalities, which as we know is about is $235,000. That comes out of right off the top of our sales tax before we our share before we even get it and goes to the municipalities for their AIM program. This year for the fiscally distressed hospitals, all counties, their sales tax were embargoed to pay for those as well. And that's actually more than the AIM payment. That's about $350,000, that comes from our sales tax to go pay. So they're just taking that off the top. They think that, you know, our sales tax is so rich. And they made the argument that we added that the state allowed us to collect on internet sales tax. So we have the ability to do that, but it really is an alarming trend and one that we hear. We know that the state budget office looks at the reserves of all municipalities and balances that when they make their own spending decisions. So if you have a responsible organization that maintains a good fund balance level to protect against, this is the perfect year and an explanation why you have a fund balance to be able to plug these holes. They look at your fund balance through the comptroller system and say, you have enough money, we can cut you. So it's really a disturbing trend and one that obviously we'll fight against and have. So again, year-to-date collections are about 4% less than the same time. Expect that number to change because the way that they do prior period adjustments and everything, we just don't know. Sometimes we see a one-time collection down 35% and the next time we see it up 70. It just depends upon when they do these prior period adjustments. But the trend is obviously down all across the board. So with that, and because you folks have historically conservatively budgeted sales tax, we're able to leave our sales tax budget flat, which is a huge help. If we were more aggressive on sales tax budgeting like many municipalities and had to take away from this number, that just compounds our pain. So, you know, I think a lot of credit goes to you folks for having the foresight to do that. Fund balance, we note how much is being appropriated, 7.1 general fund balance. That is, you know, very much in line with 2020. That's another area where you strike your balance. And in previous years, you have appropriated more fund balance to the budget to close that gap, but didn't need to make much changes for the coming year. Interest earnings, again, you know, with everything that's happening and with the markets, we will not meet the interest earning forecast, unfortunately, and have been forced to reduce the revenue by about $373,000 for 2021. Your property tax levy and property tax rate, I mean, this is, you know, what everyone, all your constituents, you know, want to know about. And, you know, we're pleased to say that we believe that it's a very responsible ask of our constituents. The tax levy increases a little over $500,000 or 0.99%, which is well below the state tax cap limit. It's more than half of what we would be allowed to raise. So that is good news. We are, again, tax cap compliant. And as you'll see, for the eighth consecutive year, the average rate, average tax rate has decreased. Obviously, when assessed values go up, that impacts your tax rate. And if your tax levy is stable, your average tax rate per thousand will go down. So you can see that our average tax rate per thousand has decreased 1.73%. Now, if I were county executive in a lot of your county executive counties, that we say it every year, that's how they present their budget. I wouldn't talk much about the tax levy and just say we're reducing our budget by 1.73% and, you know, showing you folks and everyone the full picture, because just talking about the rate is not the full picture. So it's good news. And it shows the trend of holding the line on expenses and you know, a credit to everyone in this organization to be able to find creative ways to, you know, number one, comply with mandates, and number two, to deliver the services that you folks expect of us and that the residents do. For room tax, obviously a terrible year for room tax with limited travel, with some of the shutdowns that we've seen. We're going to use, you know, a good portion of the sales tax reserve or the room tax reserve, about $400,000 to plug the hole this year. We're projecting about $370,000 less revenue in room tax, and you will see in your allocations, as you click through these, that all of the organizations have been reduced. Because if not, then you start talking about funding these organizations with general fund dollars. So the organizations have done a good job stepping up, finding cuts on their own, and presenting them to you. So again, you know, this is one that we hope significantly rebounds when we get to a more normal operations, you know, that this is one that comes around pretty quick. The ones that we like to show, the dollar bill. We like to show this every year because what it shows you is really the old 9 for 90 from NYSEC, that 9 state programs represent over 92% of your property tax levy. So this number has actually gone up. We've been hovering around 90% on the nose over previous years, but it's actually gone up to 92% of the property tax levy for just 9 state programs. And they are listed here for you folks to see. And that green is the remainder for all other programs. That's what you have left out of your property tax levy to provide other programs. Now, obviously you have sales tax, you have state aid, you have federal aid that helps plug those holes and gives you funding for other services. But people want to know about the property taxes. And, you know, we make it clear that really it's Albany driving those. Can see that if you add community colleges, it's almost 100%. And community colleges is, you know, it's not one of the 9 that NYSEC has identified, but it's one that you folks, you know, can't wake up tomorrow and say, okay, we're not paying community colleges anymore. We don't have the statutory ability to do that. So it is a mandated program. So if you look at it, really all of our property tax funds are encumbered to pay for state programs. And in conclusion, I just personally can't thank you enough for everything you've done and continue to do. It's a pleasure working for you all. You all are tremendous and very, very inquisitive, very thoughtful. You always ask a ton of questions, which is great. And we as staff really appreciate that. And, you know, we have a lot of uncertainty. We don't know what next year is going to look like. I think that, you know, with your leadership, we've developed the best budget that we can, but so much more remains to be seen. What's going to come out of Washington, if anything, in terms of stimulus for local governments? If there is nothing, then we will see drastic state cuts that we've anticipated, which will create a large amount of pain. So our challenges aren't done. You know, we obviously monitor this, you know, every day. And if we see that additional cuts are coming down the road, obviously we're communicate that with you folks right away. And we might have to do the same things that we have done, you know, in 2020, which is hold position vacancies, things like that. It's just the way that it is. But I think if you look at your overall budget, your overall fund balances, you know, I think you folks have kept Steuben County in a great place. So with that, I will be quiet and thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Jack. Does anybody have any questions or comments about the presentation? All right, I do. As far as the sheriff's office being the large change and the history of the 4 or 5 years, that is concerning. And I think that we addressed a lot of those concerns with the sheriff a couple meetings ago. Looking at vacancies that are in the personnel details of the budget book, there's not much room there either. There used to be. As I see it, there's 1 funded vacancy in the sheriff's office. I think that's a part-time. And there's 1 funded vacancy in court security, and there's 0 in the jail. So going forward, I see the only way we're going to get the increase in spending to stop or flatten it is to just let attrition occur and not fill or reduce other programmatic spending. So that's going to be an ongoing issue. As far as sales tax and financially distressed hospitals, are any of the hospitals in our county considered financially distressed?
Yes. So that payment relates directly to counties or to hospitals in our county.
Okay. So it's not like we're paying for ones outside of our area.
Correct.
And will the distress nature go on forever, or does it ever get healed?
You see, that is so tough. That's a general line item budget in the state budget that they have helped plug those holes. I know hospitals, I mean, we talk to them weekly with everything that's going on. I know they're struggling, not just operationally, but fiscally as well. But they've also received an influx of CARES Act funding, which doesn't go into this. So I would hope that there would be more insight into that. But based on the fact that it's a historic line item like AIM that hospitals are expecting to receive, I would not expect that to change.
Shoot, I had one more. CHIPS, decrease in 20% in CHIPS anticipation. Is there any, I mean, is there any validity to that yet, or we won't know it until April when they're doing their budget?
Well, we will likely know sooner than April. We, all of our funding that we have received for CHIPS has been reduced 20%. And they've also told us to anticipate a reduction of 20%. Now, if the feds came through and the states got a significant influx of cash, we stand a chance of maybe getting that 20% back. But it really, it all depends upon a federal stimulus. Without that, that will be reduced. Okay.
All right. That's all I had. Anybody else? Yes, Mr. Swackhammer.
Are we still having officers at the DMVs?
Yes. So it's court security or corrections officers who are co-designated as court security. I believe that they are still there.
We're picking up that cost.
That's our cost. Yep. Yep.
Is there a reason that we can't, with the scheduling and everything, now start to look at that?
We can take a look at it. I'll talk to the sheriff today about that. The one reason that we have done it is at the beginning when the DMVs, right, you know, opened back up by appointment, we had not an insignificant number of incidents that right. needed yeah. help. Yeah. So, but I'll have that conversation with
him. Thank you.
Mrs. Fitzpatrick.
Yes, actually, I had a couple of questions. I'm not sure if any of them will really affect the budget, but when I was scanning back through the pages, if on page 40 with building security, I'm assuming that is really a category. Should that not be spread out over all of the departments, yes, thank you. I lost my words. And so that I realize that it doesn't really change the net county cost, but isn't that provided over all the departments?
It is. Yep. And it's really because of DSS, because we're able to leverage state funding. So the revenue that you see in there, really is that state funding that we can leverage.
Is that only the social service that's noted as revenue? And is that the only department that we really charge it back to?
You charge it, really, we only charge it back to them. Is that in other, I'd have to go back. Honestly, that's one that I don't know. But I'm not aware of any other county department that could draw down revenue, either state or federal, to help pay for that.
Okay. Well, I had the same question for the motor pool. I wondered if that really shouldn't be spread out over every. I mean, the motor pool itself, which is on page 43, shows net county cost. And in reality, we have the motor pool with vehicles for various departments to use. So I was often thinking that maybe the cost of that should be spread out, and there really should be, you shouldn't see that in that department.
So we do charge back motor pool for a large portion. But now where we do leasing, mm-hmm. We have in many cases plugged those into the department's budget. And again, DSS would largely be the only one that could draw down any funds for that.
Okay. Those were just observations that I made. And I did look at page 65, which is the school resource officer category, which we're noting an increase in expense and an increase in revenue when we've lost the BOCES portion, which I would assume would have been in here. And I was just wondering if that seemed logical.
So the BOCES was not in here. The BOCES was in the sheriff's.
Okay.
So these are the true retired folks that the schools just directly reimburse. So the two that are full-time positions for the county was in the sheriff's budget with associated revenue there.
Okay. There was some question during the process of the navigation budget. Have we reached out to the concerned individuals to reassure them that we have not decreased their service in navigation?
We have had those conversations, but we've also received additional letters since then. I think they now get that the budget hasn't been reduced, but we've gotten letters about it being increased.
But it also hasn't been increased.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. That was page 70. So that's understood. I think that it has been very responsible of us as far as what we've done with sales tax. The overall situation that we're in with the county and with the state itself, it would seem that with all of the shutdowns, it would behoove us to ask the governor that if we're going to do these things that decrease our revenue, he should also be looking at the flip side of that, which is where you reduce services and you reduce expenses. And it seems quite fiscally irresponsible on his part to expect us to maintain service levels without the same amount of revenue. And that's very frustrating.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's been his mode of operandi for years, which is why the state's in financial hardship.
Yes, agreed.
Mr. Malter.
Yeah, I just want to point out that the two positions for BOCES sitting out there, if those contracts are renewed, there won't be any additional staffing. The two people that were assigned to Road Patrol will go back to that situation. So I just want to point that out.
Mr. Mayo, did you have a question? Okay.
So because we have, because court, New York State Office of Court Administration staff has been on site, we still provide the security, even though obviously with trials and hearings, it's been significantly reduced. The sheriff did, you know, work with OCA to check on the revenue numbers. And based on what's in the budget, the sheriff has said that those are what OCA projects for the coming year for us.
Mr. Mullen?
Yeah, I had a few comments. I wanted to just say thank you to Jack and Chris and the Finance Department and the Finance Committee for how hard they all worked on this budget. And a lot of the department heads, Commissioner Mullen, Commissioner Spagnoletti, I think that they really did a nice job. Even some of the people from the tourism industry and things like that came to us and said, we understand what kind of a situation you're in, and this is the budget. And I remain concerned about the sheriff's budget. I am not going to vote for this budget without the sheriff. And I don't, it probably won't matter, but without the sheriff cutting his budget some. I think that there's these two positions for BOCES, and I think he took 1.5 out when they came in. And I don't think anybody here, I'm not going to speak for everybody else, but my personal impression is that people aren't completely happy with this budget from the sheriff. And, you know, a lot of other people have had to adjust what they've had to do during the COVID era as well. Emergency management has had to do a lot of things. Jack has had to completely change, what he's been doing. And I understand that the staffing issues aren't anywhere close to the same as they are there. But, I think sometimes you can't be all things to all people. And so if you're going to be the COVID police and the state police, then maybe you have to change around some of the traffic things we're doing in the county or something along those lines. And I don't know that we're, that the situations in Rochester and Buffalo are really all that frequent such that we need to be taking that into account for our staffing. And so, well, I 100% believe that most people have worked very hard on this. I think that when you see how important the department heads' cooperation is on getting the budgets where they need to be.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. We will move on to the orders of the day.
Sure.
Would the clerk please read resolution one?
Before we do.
Oh.
Fred had his hand up. I'm not sure.
I'm sorry.
I don't know if he was reaching for something on a can. I thought I saw the same thing.
Did either of the legislators online have any questions?
I think he was reaching for something on his computer. I thought the same thing.
Okay.
No, I'm good.
This is Jeff. I don't have any questions. I'd just like to thank Jack for giving that presentation in detail, especially for us new people.
Thank you.
I'm okay too, and Jack and company, everybody's done a fantastic job this year.
Thank you.
Thank you. We didn't. Did we actually open it as a workshop?
No, everybody just kind of started doing.
So you did, but
So
you could close.
I'll use the official mail
for the minutes
to close the budget workshop. Pencils down, everyone. Mm.
Just trying to keep it in order.
Thank
here.
You. Are there any announcements? All right. Would the clerk please read resolution one?
Is this administration? Mm-hmm. Okay, because we didn't put that on the agenda. Introduced by Mr. Hsu, presenting local law tentatively number 2 for the year 2020 relative to the residency requirement for the Steuben County Planning Director.
Second.
Any comments or questions? No, I agree with Mr. Swackhammer's question that the committee is, why can't we just do this for all the positions? Because we're kind of in a new era now of people driving farther for work but as the county attorney pointed out, it's a requirement for each one. So would the clerk please call the roll?
It's actually an affirmation because it's a presentation.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's why there's an A written here.
Yeah.
I see.
I was good for something else.
It's the first A I've seen written here, so I wasn't sure what. All right. Any other information relevant to us moving forward?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, yes, we have to review each position by title because we have to, there is a multi-layer process of, are they a public officer? So then you have to go through that. Are they an elected officer? Because it covers various different statutes. So to go across the board with every department head would not be possible. My position, for example, by statute says you have to be a resident of the county in which you are appointed. Not all of them do, so it's a position by position examination. Yeah, it would be much easier. Yeah, and there's also civil service requirements that Nate has to look at as well. Are they competitive? Are they exempt?
There's contiguous counties in some of those civil service job specs, so it's.
And the other question I asked was, are we doing this just for a specific person in a specific position, or does it stay with the position if that person moves on to something else?
Right.
Yeah.
It's always generated because of one specific person.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, I'm just going to mention that I do think it's good to have the department head of Steve in the county. And so I'll probably end up voting against changing it, but it's not against the individual. It's just, I think it's the policy is good to have the county.
Okay.
And I mentioned it at admin from a from a staff standpoint, that is our personal preference too. We always try that in situations. It really has arisen from a really talented incumbent coming up that could transition easily. That's, as long as I've been here, that's where the waivers have come in.
All right. Nothing else. Motion to adjourn.
We need to vote on it.
Affirmation.
Oh. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Two opposed?
Well, this is just unpresented, right?
Correct.
Right. Yes. It's unpresented.
One opposed.
One opposed. Hannah.
Okay. So.
So moved.
We're good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more. Nothing.
I don't need to. Mm-mm.
All right. Why don't you do adjourn and go fight the fire, whatever is
happening. I'll move.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
Well, that was fun.
Thank you.
A lot of.